full disclosure here, I bleed purple. Oh, you're a Vikings fan, you might say. Well, actually, while I'm happy to call North Dakota my forever home, I am originally from the Baltimore area, and so naturally, I'm a big supporter of the Baltimore Ravens, that other purple team. And that is why it's a thrill to welcome a guy that's got some ties to our area. That's why we're doing this, after all. A recently retired Ravens assistant head coach and one of the greatest special teams coaches of all time, Mr. Jerry Rosberg. Jerry, welcome to Prairie Public's Air.
Thank you, Eric. It's great to be with you today.
And Jerry, when we say ties to our area, we're talking about college and high school in that order specifically. Can you kind of retrace your steps in how you wound up in the Fargo-Moorhead area?
Sure. I grew up in Fairmont, Minnesota, a little farm town in the right in the Iowa border on Interstate 90. And my high school coach was a guy by the name of Tom Mahoney. And Tom is a legendary high school coach in the state of Minnesota. But his other job, so to speak, was to officiate college football. So he coaches Friday night games, and on Saturdays he would venture off into the North Central Conference and officiate. He was an umpire in the North Central Conference. So he knew all the coaches and all the programs in the North Central Conference, which, of course, at that time in the early 70s included North Dakota State. And so Tom was really the guy that got me connected to North Dakota State. And then one day I was meandering through the hallways of Fairmont High School, and my high school coach says, hey, there's a coach here from North Dakota State that would like to speak to you about college football. You want to talk to him? I said, sure. And I march into the library area, and there's a little interview room, and Ardell Wiegandt steps up and introduces himself and shakes my hand. And as those true Bison fans would know, Ardell is a former Marine, and he still had, at that point in his life, still had that Marine Corps haircut and really firm grip handshake. And me being a high school kid in the 70s, a little disheveled, a little long hair, you know, and I figured I better put on my best version of myself at that point. Well, it all worked out. So I ended up going to North Dakota State and had the college time of my life. It was an amazing experience. I was blessed to be brought to North Dakota State to play with the teammates I had and be involved in the program I was with. And it really got me into college coaching and then eventually the pros just by the very fact that I was able to go to North Dakota State. But when I got done with North Dakota State, I needed a job. Apparently I wasn't good enough to play pro football. Pretty obvious because I didn't play. So I needed a job, and I was working with Alteg Engineers in Fargo. I had worked for them in a summertime job, and there came an opening at Shanley High School. So I was a social science teacher, and I was interested in coaching, and this job opened up, and I went over and applied. I interviewed with Brother Roger, and I got the job that summer, and started my coaching career and my teaching career at Shanley High School.
Well, Fargo-Shanley, a school with quite a unique pedigree. I mean, you got Coach Sid Sitchie's family tree. Yeah. Of course, the stadium's named after him. He's got, I believe, a grandson who's playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah. And then there's Roger Maris. He not only went there, but he played football, not baseball, under Coach Sitchie. How did being in that kind of atmosphere prepare you for the ranks of NFL coaches?
Well, I had a roommate in college, Al Sukup, that went to Shanley High School, and my coach, Jim Driscoll, also went to Shanley High School, so I was well familiar with both the Shanley football tradition and also the academic prowess, but also the Sitchie family, and I played with Nick. Nick was a senior when I was a freshman, Nick Sitchie, and I was close with Nick as well, so I knew the whole family, and then Steve Sitchie was playing for Shanley High School when I was playing for North Dakota State, and so we'd watch him on Friday nights when we had the opportunity. Shanley, at that time in 1977, my senior year, Shanley High School was a powerhouse. Steve being the quarterback, he was about a head taller than everybody in the field. He was a quarterback and a linebacker, and as you probably know, he went on to start at Notre Dame the very next year. He was a great player at Notre Dame. And then, as you also mentioned, his son, Steve's son, Jack, played for Wisconsin. And so I went through the whole draft process, and I watched him play and our scouts' evaluation of him. And, yeah, he's now with Tampa Bay. And it's a long-rich tradition of fine academics and athletics at Shanley High School.
And you did follow a fellow Bison all the way to Northern Michigan, where you helped run a summer football camp. And it was there, Jerry, you met one, John Harbaugh, who later called you his best friend of the last 25 to 30 years. Of course, before he became head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, he wound up as a special teams coach in Philly. So describe that early connection to John Harbaugh, and were you already bonding over special teams?
the connection is kind of an interesting one. I followed Jim Driscoll. I left Shanley High School and went to Northern Michigan University as a graduate assistant in 1981. And Jim Driscoll really got me that opportunity. And then during the course of my time in Northern Michigan, I became a full-time assistant. And I would go to the University of Michigan summer camps where they brought high school kids in and had camps. And at that time, the Michigan camp was kind of a trendsetter. They started the big high school camps, and there was anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500 high school kids at this camp. So it was a great recruiting opportunity. So I went down there when I was at Northern Michigan and worked the camp, and I just happened to room with John Harbaugh, who was coaching with his father at Western Michigan University. And I got to know him, and we spent some time together during the course of that week. Well, later on, subsequent years, Jack got released from Western Michigan, and John with him, of course. And I got the job with Al Moldy. Al Moldy being a former coach at University of Minnesota Morris and being a Minnesota guy himself, so there was a little connection there. And then I had opportunities to work at the Michigan camp when I was at Western. And John and I became friends at that time. He was working at Pittsburgh and different places, and we became more than just acquaintances at that time. Then a job opened up at the University of Cincinnati, and John helped me get the job. So I worked with John for 4 years at the University of Cincinnati. Our wives, our best friends, Sherry, my wife, and Ingrid, John's wife, are both Western Michigan University graduates, so there was a connection there. And then, yeah, John left. University of Cincinnati before John did. John ended up at University in Indiana and then went to Philadelphia from there. And I went to a number of different college campuses before I was at Notre Dame. And then the job opened up at the Cleveland Browns, and I got an opportunity to go there. And John was very helpful in my initiation into the NFL because he'd been through it already. And we spent a lot of time on the phone my first year in Cleveland, where John kind of got me on track to coach special teams in the National Football League. That all comes around. The end of the story is I was in Atlanta coaching special teams when John got the head coaching job here in Baltimore with the Ravens. The staff had just turned over in Atlanta, and so we were able to get me out of my contract in Atlanta to join him here in Baltimore, and we've been here together ever since.
Yes, it's 2008, and what a run it's been with John Harbaugh and for the Ravens. I mean, you've had special teams in the top five for stats for many years. You had talented Pro Bowl caliber players, Justin Tucker, the kicker, to name one. If you could take away one memory from those years in Baltimore, if you could tell your grandkids one thing, what would that be?
Wow, it's an interesting one. I think it probably the football memories would probably have to be topped by the Super Bowl. I mean, it's hard to top that one. The Super Bowl was quite an experience. There's a lot of background stories that go into it, but we had gotten on the doorstep of the Super Bowl the previous year in 2011, where you had a heartbreak at New England in the AFC Championship.
Billy Cunningham.
Sorry. Yeah, so we ventured into the 2012 season with the new place kicker, Justin Tucker. And we had a very good core. We got a returner that year in Jacoby Jones. We really bolstered our special teams roster that particular year. We have a number of players that we added to our team. And was really kind of when we turned our special teams around, too, was 2012. And we were rolling. And it all culminated in that Super Bowl. We were, as you probably remember, there's a lot of eventful things that happened in the Super Bowl, probably the most, which was the blackout, the lights going out.
I thought you were going to say Beyonce, but yeah, I tried to block out the lights going out.
You know,
thanks,
different
Jerry.
People have different things they remember from that Super Bowl. Beyonce, I'm sure, is in a lot of people's minds, but the thing that kind of stands out for me was the opening of the second half. During the course of the week, we work on this particular game. Of course, we have 2 weeks in preparation. As we start into the game plan, I typically get together with John because he has special teams experience. I go through and kind of formulate a game plan and do all the scouting report, and then on a typical Tuesday, I'll kind of present what I want to do with John, and we'll go over it and go through the ideas, and he'll provide any input that he can or critique the game plan, and we'll tweak it accordingly. Well, this particular week of the Super Bowl, I had an idea to run a return we hadn't run all year or any time for that matter, just based on what we were seeing from the opponent, San Francisco. And John, as this conference started, John says, "I got some ideas." I said, "I do too. I got a really interesting thing I want to show you." So the point being that we both came to the same conclusion watching the tape from different offices. We both wanted to do the same thing, and it's something we'd never done before. And so we had to get the right kick. We had to be had the right timing of the whole thing. And it worked out. At the start of the second half, we made that call, and we scored a touchdown on the play, 108 yards with Jacoby Jones, which obviously became a big part of that victory. And that's probably the moment that shines in my mind, that kickoff return touchdown, after all that had gone into that play.
A lot of hard work. I know I knocked over my nachos when that happened.
Yeah, I can imagine. Here, if you don't mind me sharing another story from that Super Bowl.
Sure.
It's pretty eventful. As you know, we tried a fake field goal in that Super Bowl as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew it was all hinging on one player. Their middle linebacker was an outstanding player, and he was really mindful of fakes. But we could tell when they were running this certain block where we wanted to run a fake against this block, that we had a clue in their alignment. But if we could get this middle linebacker blocked, we knew we could score in this fake field goal. Well, they showed it to us. We had it called. We kept it on. We executed it. But it was just a one-on-one block, and the linebacker beat us, and we needed 8 yards, and we got 7. It was one of those things, and I'll never forget John looking at me after I pulled the trigger on the call, and we executed, and it looked like it was going to go, but Justin didn't quite get there. And John looked at me, says, "That's okay, we got him backed up." And I go, "Wow, that's a good man right there."
Well, John Harbaugh, ever optimistic.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a little too close for comfort. I wish you would have gotten that first down, but we got the win anyway, right? And if you're just joining us, we're chatting with recently retired special teams coach for the Baltimore Ravens, who got his coaching start in Fargo, Jerry Rosberg. Well, I've heard Ravens players describe you in very glowing terms, your players on special teams. I also heard you were very tough, very meticulous, especially in practice. But looking back on it, how would you describe your coaching style?
Oh, geez, I try to avoid self-descriptions. I really do. I'll just leave that to everybody else. I know this. Here's what I do know, Eric, is the players that I've worked with here over the years, I have a very deeply respectful and wonderful relationship with these guys. I mean, we push each other. We don't sit around and roast marshmallows and sing Kumbaya. I mean, we're getting after it day after day after day, trying to improve. We're trying to win the Super Bowl. It's a very high level of competition. So it's a feisty relationship, but it's a wonderful relationship. I love these guys. You mentioned Justin Tucker, but Sam Cook has been with us now since I've been here, and Morgan Cox has been snapping for us for 8 years. Outstanding all Pro Bowl players, and Anthony Levine and Albert McClellan. And these might not be household names in North Dakota, but these guys are warriors in the special teams realm in the National Football League, and these are guys that I love. I mean, I know their families, and they know my family, and even after they leave, that we stay in touch, and Jacoby Jones is always texting me, and we're going back and forth. So the bond that we've forged is it's not just like I'm trying to make friends here. That we're not trying to make friends. We're trying to win football games. But as you go through the process, you invest so much in one another. Me investing in them, trying to make them the best football player they can be, and them investing in themselves and in the program and trying to win Super Bowls, you form a very strong bond. If there's anything that I can take away from the Ravens and in this kind of self-description, I would say this, that we're trying to make each other great, and we worked hard together to do that.
And there's a linebacker now for the Ravens that was drafted out of North Dakota State University, Chris Board. First of all, was that your doing, Jerry? And are there any other Bison on the horizon?
Chris Board came into our program last year as an undrafted free agent. We signed him on the last night of the draft, and we had been scouting him and really recruiting him, so to speak, through the draft. And we got him. And we were so excited to get him because we knew he'd be an outstanding player for us because he demonstrates all those characteristics that we desire in Ravens, special teams players and linebackers for that matter. I'll throw it out there right now. I predict great things for Chris on defense. Now, Chris was our top special teams player this last year, and I say that without reservation. Chris, we have a production board, a production chart, so to speak. Where we keep track of really how good, how much you play, and how productive you are. And Chris Board was our most productive special teams player on our whole team last year, and he was a rookie undrafted free agent. Now, it's not really important how you get here. It's important what you do when you get here. And Chris bought in. He's an earnest student of the game. He's tough. He is smart. He's instinctual. He is very talented. And he's going to be, as I said, I'll throw it out there right now, he's going to be a starting linebacker in this league.
Well, I can't wait to see what else Chris does. So, Jerry, have you had the chance to come back to the Fargo-Moorhead area in recent years?
Yes, I have. The athletic administration at North Dakota State have been fabulous for me. They contacted me. 2017 was the 40th anniversary of my senior classes team. The last fall I played football was 1977. As you can tell, Eric, that's a while ago, which probably leads to our retirement conversation. But we had a 40-year anniversary, and they were so kind. Matt and Pat Simmers, congratulations to Pat on his retirement, by the way. Matt Larson and all the guys at North Dakota State, they contacted me and they wanted to get the 77 team together. So they waited until the NFL schedule came out to find out when the Ravens had an open date to see if it fell on a Bison home game. And as fate would have it, yes, it did. So I was able to go back in 2017 and go back and watch the Bison play South Dakota and rip them to shreds there in the Fargo Dome. It was a joy. I mean, the guys that I saw that I hadn't seen, and some of them in 40 years, but also being able to go back to the campus and see the dramatic changes. I hadn't been there since, I think it was 85 or 86, and so it was a long time away. And the last time I was there, I was coaching in Northern Michigan, and we went and played the Bison and got smoked. So at Dakota Field. So it was a long time. So I got a chance to go back, and I took a long walk through campus and got a chance to speak to the team and watch them play, and it was great. And then the following spring, last spring, I spoke at the clinic. So I went back again, and it was a blustery cold day that day. I went in there and I went around, walked around campus, and everything. I had a blast. Yeah, it looks great. I'm so proud of our institution. I tell the guys, I've got this Bison Football Players Association hat that I've been gifted, and I wear it on Saturday mornings into the meetings, because one of the traditions in the National Football League is on Saturday mornings all the guys are wearing gear from their respective colleges, and there's all kinds of little friendly wagers of if we beat your team, you have to wear my hat.
Right.
So I always wear my hat into the meeting on Saturday mornings and Saturday nights often, and so it's I get to talk really smart when I've got the Bison on my head. Rarely is there any bad news coming my way.
Jerry, you mentioned, you go back to 1977. It's been a long time. But, really, you're only 63 years old. May I ask why you retired?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. One of the biggest reasons is this is a very consuming profession. I mean, to coach in the National Football League, or any coaching for that matter, it's all consuming. It takes up a big chunk of your life. And I gave great credit to my wife, Sherry, and my kids for going through this journey with us. One of the things that I really want to be able to do, Eric, that getting out of coaching will allow me to do, is I've got two children playing college athletics. I missed a lot of their games. I missed a lot of contests. My son plays hockey at Michigan State, and rather than watching it on my iPad in the hotel, I'm going to be able to be there in person whenever he's playing. And then my daughter, our youngest daughter, Margaret, plays volleyball at St. Louis University. Because she's such a remote spot, I hardly get to see her play at all. Our oldest daughter, Megan, is out of college, but she played at American University down in Washington, D.C., so I would be able to get down there on home game Friday nights and see her play. So I'm really looking forward to seeing my children play in their athletic competition and spend more time with my family. That's the biggest reason for this whole thing. And it's been a good run, Eric. I mean, 40 years of coaching, that's a good run. I appreciate your saying that. You said you're only 63. That's a nice way of putting it.
I'm not that far away from it, so I like to think of it as young, for sure. Well, Jerry Rosberg is the former assistant head coach and special teams coach with the Baltimore Ravens, and I can tell you as a Ravens fan, personally, Jerry, you will be sorely missed in Baltimore, and certainly here in Fargo, you're revered for your ties to the area. It's a good place to retire, by the way, Fargo. Have you ever thought of that?
We've got some other plans, but I will say this. This is going to allow me to be in Fargo a little more than I have. It won't be 30 years this time. I'm going to try to get to a game this fall, certainly, get back to Fargo. I have so many fond memories of Fargo and North Dakota State. It's been such a big part of my life. The whole experience of being a Bison football player is something that I cherish. And now with all the success of the program, too, I can assure you that North Dakota State is highly respected in the circles of the National Football League. If teams are looking at a player from North Dakota State, they know the kind of characteristics that player is going to carry with them. They're going to be smart. They're going to be tough. They're going to be winners. They're going to be dedicated to be the best they can be, and they're going to have high character. And I'm proud to represent that as a coach of the National Football League. I mean, people in the National Football League know what North Dakota State stands for.
Yeah, but you and Carson Wentz, probably the most visible of the two in the NFL. Jerry, it was a pleasure chatting with you on Main Street. It's a real honor, and all the best to you and your family during your retirement.
I appreciate that, Eric. Thanks for having me on, and I just want to say this. I wish all the people in North Dakota all the best. There's great people out there, and I spent time coaching at Shanley. I remember my first hockey guy. I was a head hockey coach at Shanley High School because nobody else had a pair of skates.
Wow, that'll do it.
At my first game, I've traveled from almost coast to coast in North Dakota. You know, I coached in Minot. I've gone goose hunting and rugby and Jamestown and Bismarck and Devil's Lake and all the places all around. And they're just such wonderful people in North Dakota. And I have fond memories of my time there. And I'm looking forward to spending a little more time there in the future.
Yep, you're from Minnesota, but we'll call you a native son for sure, Jerry.
Well, I appreciate that.